Are you ready to give God glory this morning? Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be here? What's God doing in your lives? Is He doing anything you can give Him praise for? I want to share with you real quickly as we get started here that I've got some testimonies from Texas. Recently, Stan was knocked over by a dog and hit a table. That could have been deadly, but God protected him. He's doing fine. But the other thing is, now, y'all who are nurses, you understand this. Us who are not, we're ignorant of these things. But apparently when they do blood tests on a person who has had or does have cancer, they look for markers. And again, y'all understand what that is. Maybe you can explain that to us someday. But from what I understand, about a 3.2 or a 3.3 is normal, meaning there's no cancer. Stan got a blood test this week, or this just recently, and when they came back, they told him that it looked really, really good, that he was at a 3.5. So we can give God glory for that, amen? Let's give God praise for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, praise you, Lord. Amen. So God's at work. This morning, I was moved by Patrick, and I just told the Lord, I said, when the board prayed for him, the elders, I just said, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want to see a full manifestation. And I know these are the kind of things that cause people to stumble a little bit. Okay, God, here's your promises. Why aren't they working? Well, let me tell you, family of God, He is working. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And He never, ever, ever quits. You can say amen. It's the truth. You can give Him glory for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just be aware of that. And I believe God's given me a message of encouragement this morning, a blessing, and I believe God wants to do something in hearts and lives this morning. Well, He always does. But this morning, I believe He's got something extra special for us.
Can I tell you all about Tanner?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Tanner had surgery on his third surgery on the 28th. He has not been the same since then. He's very fussy. Very, very irritable. He's huge, so eating's not an issue. And after the surgery, he doesn't poo, he doesn't laugh, he doesn't do anything. So for 2 weeks, he's been like that. And so I babysat him quite a lot and prayed over him.
Praise God.
Bless this child. And he's talking again. He's laughing. He's being his normal self. God is totally working in
Amen.
His life through this baby.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And yes, and through you, Kathy. Praise God. You know, it's hard enough when we as adults go through some of the things we go through. But when you take an infant who's fresh in this world, I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I mean, you know, our Father, our Jesus said that He was not a high priest that could not be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And so He knows. He's been through it all. And He understands. And He came to redeem us from these things. To set us free from these things. To give us an abundant life. Amen? Not just a life, but an abundant life. A blessings. Blessings. Blessings that overtake us. They don't just come, but they overtake us. Amen? So we need to be believing that. We need to be standing on those scriptures. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to get carried away here in a minute, so we better pray first. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You again for these people, for this time. These are Your people. This is Your time. We release this to You. And again, Holy Spirit, we look to You to bring about our Father's will in each life and in this house today. We give You praise and thanks for the revelation that You give and for showing us who Jesus is and for reminding us of the hope that's within us and of reminding us of the One who is the hope of glory. We give You praise and thanks, and we want to worship and praise You this morning and give You all honor and glory in everything we do and everything we say. Once again, hide me behind the cross, and Lord, You accomplish today what You want to accomplish in Jesus' name. Not because of me, but in spite of me. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want us to do the music today after we hear the message. If you haven't got an incentive now to give God praise and glory, you will have by the end of this message. I say that by faith, and I prophesy that over every one of you. You know, it's amazing how some of us, the only time we talk to God is when we're coming, gimme, 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 gimme. And yet God is continually giving to us. He's continuing to bless us. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, there's been a lot going on in different ones, and in fact, in everybody in this fellowship. Kathy, we know with the situation with her grandsons and with her son, Bob and Karen, Harry, Stan, Patrick, all of us. And there's always something happening. And, you know, and of course, we know the enemy's got a plan, but, you know, that's not where our focus is. We have the victory. Let me say that again. We have the victory. We are victors, not victims. You know, sometimes we look at circumstances and we don't understand. And that's all they are, circumstances. And if you don't know this morning, I want to share with you. For those of you who know, just say amen. But circumstances are always subject to change. Amen. Yes. They're not the truth. Let me say that again. They are not the truth. We know by the Word of God there's only one truth, one way, and one life, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Our Redeemer. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. This comes with by association. The Bible says evil company corrupts good morals. How many know that? There's some people that God requires. I know I heard a lady singing on one of the Christian programs here just this weekend, and she was singing about, you know, there's sometimes when God says this relationship's got to stop. No, I'm paraphrasing. And because it's not good for you. And I'm reminded of a song that's very dear to me that says, you know, today I went back to the place where I used to go, and I saw the same old crowd that I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. Amen? And thanks to Calvary, I don't come here. There's been a change in me. And then it goes on to say, today we went back to the place where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, don't be afraid. You got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Amen? But sometimes our associations and our alignments bring us into a place where it causes us to take our eyes off of God. Now, this is just the beginning of this. Now, there's a lot more to this. But I want to touch on this morning. I want to know what your expectations are. Let me ask you a question. What do you think your chances for success are when it appears that everyone you have associated yourself with or aligned yourself with seems to be a failure? Anybody say they've had that experience in their life? In other words, you've gone places. I can tell you that I've been in churches where somebody who really inspired me at one point, you know, and the scripture talks about, you know, once you preach to others that you yourself become a castaway. You know, they've had the truth, they've walked in the truth, they've been a blessing, and all of a sudden, they're off doing other things. They're off on a tangent. They've been pulled or strayed off the path that God has, and that God directed them. They've left the calling that God's given them. Now, if evil company corrupts good morals, then what do you think is going to happen to you if you continue to hang around with those kind of people? Let me also say that, you know, there are things that we see in everybody's life that we can look at and say, okay, God, where are you? Why, you know, why isn't something happening? Why don't we see the manifestation immediately? And what that does is that drags our affections and our thoughts and our outlook off of the things that we know by the Word of God, amen, that is truth that is unchangeable. Let me say it again. Truth that is unchangeable. You can't change it, you can't alter it, and you can't stop it. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to ask you, what are your expectations today? Where or what do you think your level of faith would or should be? Should be probably is a better way to put it. And I'm here to tell you that it's all dependent upon and it's all summed up in where your focus is. Are you with me? Where's your focus today? We're so easily dragged off of the focus of Jesus, the blessings and the manifestations that He has for us, and the things that He's prepared for us and He's done in our lives by simple little things. Now, they don't seem simple to us sometimes. I understand that. It was no simple thing to do, go through that mess that I went through here last year. It was no simple thing. But I came through it, and God was with me, and I grew because of it. And now I have an outlook that's totally different than what I had before. One of the things that I've shared with you, and I shared with Stan and Connie this weekend as I talked to them. By the way, I want to share that. I've already shared that with you. They want to come up here before I go any further. I'm just bringing this up. They want to come up here, and we want them up here. So the board has talked, and what we want to do is we want to open it to the congregation. If you want to be a part of the blessing that we'd like to give them or extend to them, then we're opening it up that you can mark your offerings and your giving for a love offering for Stan and Connie so you can be a part of the blessing of them coming up here. Amen? So we just open that up to you. And
do they know that?
What's that?
Do they know we're
going to do that? No. No, this isn't the time to tell them. They don't even know what we've got planned, but that's fine. God knows. But God's laid it on our hearts, my heart, and then I shared it with the board, and they feel the same way, that we need to see them. Amen? I think that would be a great encouragement to Stan. I think that would be a great way of receiving some healing, some encouragement, some strength. And so we're just going to open it up. No, just for temporary for right now. But that'll have to work with their schedule, too. I understand he's got one more chemo sometime next month, which is coming up very quickly. And some family things, but they're ready to go. Connie told me, she said, Bill, I've been looking for airline tickets. So they're ready to come. They bought a motorhome. Whatever their mode is, we just want to be a part of the blessing, and we want them to understand we want them to come. Amen? Are you with me? Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Enough said. Anyway, we were talking about focus. And I would ask a simple question, but it's a direct question. Is your focus on the failures of others or yourself? And if it is, then you probably fall by the wayside too. In other words, you follow their failures because that's the example that's been set before you. Let me remind you that as children, some of us didn't come from the best places or the best homes. Some of us had many struggles. Some of us were told things that were very degrading, very damaging to our faith and to our self-esteem. Amen. And so the example that should have been there, that God designed to be there, who loved him, set for us to bring us in the right direction, wasn't there. But you're here this morning. So that tells me, and it should tell you, that God has a plan for your life. And that God is working, even when you didn't know Him. The Bible says, even when we were sinners, in due time, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. And that was me, before I knew the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. But if your focus is on the Redeemer of your soul and life, then you can and will rise above those negative issues in your life, and you will walk in victory. Or you will live in victory. You missed a good place to say amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 2:14. I want to paint the picture this morning to show you what's happening behind the scenes and where our focus should be. Our focus should not be on the things that happen to us. It shouldn't be on the things that arise in our lives or the stumbling blocks that come. It should be on Jesus, who is the hope of our salvation. Amen? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who's begun the good work and who's going to complete the good work. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now listen carefully. It says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Why? Because Christ means the anointed one, and that anointing is in us. And if He's in you, He's always leading you in triumph. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the description of what He is and who He is, the anointed one. And through us, through you and I, He diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You and I carry that fragrance with us, and as we share the Word of God, as we live with the victory that God's given us, and we keep our focus on Him, which should keep us in victory all the time, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, then we diffuse a pure fragrance, and that is what draws people into the knowledge of God by our sharing. That what we share by the Word of God, that Word is a fragrance that's the fragrance of God that draws people to Him. Hallelujah. His knowledge in every place. His knowledge. Then you go over to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, and verses 16 through 18 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, or the spirit and soul, is being renewed day by day." Amen? We renew our mind by the washing of the water of the Word. We're renewed by walking in faith and walking in the Word and walking in the fellowship with the Lord. Amen? So our inward man, the spirit and soul, the heart, is being renewed day by day. It's a progression. But it's every day. It's not just here today and gone tomorrow and then come back and then maybe Thursday or something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Verse 17 says, "For our light..." Now listen to this, please. Family of God, listen to this. "For our light affliction..." I mean, how many know that to us, when something happens, it's always a catastrophe? I mean, it's like, dear God, you know. It's like, I remember Jerry Savelle talking one time about when he was standing, and you know, talking about the shield of faith and the armor of God. And you know, the Bible says that, you know, the shield of faith will deflect the missiles, you know, the fiery darts. And all of a sudden, he sees a missile coming at him. And his shield is all chinked and you know, dented and stuff. And here comes, I mean, and he's thinking, "Lord, this is the final blow." And then he came through unscathed. "For our light affliction..." And I wrote just above that word light in my notes here that it's L-I-T-E, not L-I-G-H-T. "Which is but for a moment..." Listen carefully. "Is working for us..." Oh, listen. "A far more exceeding and weight..." That's W-E-I-G-H-T, like heavy or light. "Weight of glory." We go through things and we think, man, I'm telling you, oh Lord, I can't understand this. I'm overwhelmed. Well, are you resting in the everlasting arms? Are you calling upon the Lord in your time of what you think is trouble? And it may be. I mean, the enemy doesn't do anything for your good. How many know that? He doesn't do anything for your good. He does it for your harm. He hates the Word of God, and so he'll do anything he can to steal it or to take your focus off of where your victory will be. And that's by staying focused on the Word of God, the promises of God, and in fellowship with Him, intimate relationship with Him. And the verse 18 says, "While we do not look..." Listen carefully. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." In other words, what are you looking at? Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? Are you walking by feelings or are you walking by truth? "We do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen." In other words, the Bible says if we'll keep our mind on Him, we'll walk in perfect peace. If we keep our minds completed, stayed and focused on Him, we'll walk in perfect peace. Not just peace, perfect peace. That just amazes me. blesses me. For the things which are seen are temporary. Did you hear that? Whatever you're going through, it's temporary. It may seem like an eternity, but it's temporary. You want to talk about seems like an eternity? Spend 5.5 months on your back in the hospital, wondering how you got there and why you're there, knowing that the enemy was behind it, but also knowing that this mountain is removed and cast into the sea. And you don't stop your, you don't stop saying that. You don't stop standing on that. And all of a sudden, one morning you wake up and the mountain's gone and completely gone. And it was gone all the time. The moment you spoke it, it began to disappear. Did you hear me? The moment you spoke it, it began to disappear. Read your Bible in Mark chapter 11. Amen. And you don't doubt, man. You'll say to the mountain, be removed, and it will be done. Right? The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are not seen are the one things that are working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, as we read in chapter and verse 17. Are you with me? I just want to ask you a question. Is your glass half full or half empty this morning? Meditate that for a minute. Praise the Lord, Daniel. See, these minor things, I mean, dear God, look what Jesus suffered. I remember last week when we talked about Romans 8:18. For this, you know, light affliction can't even be compared with the glory that He has set before us, that He's going to work in us. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes we as humans, we get in situations where we, you know, they're suffering. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to belittle that. But what I'm going to tell you is it's far more what God is doing than the little things we go through in this life. I mean, to us, I mean, it's like, oh, Lord. And God's standing up there saying, I can't wait to bring them through this. I can't wait to bring them through this. I can't wait to see how they grow, how they get stronger, and how much more they love me and worship me, how much their faith is going to grow. Do you see that? Do you understand that? That's the way God looks at it. But it's up to you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the calamity or the hurts, the little pains or things? Are you going to serve God? I can't tell you I understand why we go through some of the things we do, but I don't care. I know it's working in me a far more weightier and a heavier weight of glory than that silly thing that's trying to distract me. Are you with me? See, we talked about focus. Let me tell you what focus is. It's a state or condition of permitting, listen carefully, permitting clear perception or understanding or direction. It can be positive or negative. It's a center of activity, attraction or attention, focus, we're talking about, a point of concentration. Where's our concentration supposed to be? Amen. It talks about focus is direct attention. If we suggest to someone to focus, we're saying to them to come into focus. Put your thoughts and your attention on the things that are important. Not the things that are fleeting and temporary. The things that are eternal. And focus is to concentrate your attention or your effort. Are you with me? Now, what can steal our focus are obstacles in our way. And an obstacle is nothing more than something that impedes progress or achievement. Are you with me? Are you getting the picture? It impedes progress or achievement. When you lose your focus, your eye's not on the progress or on the end of the goal. It's on what's happening right at the moment, right? Amen. Amen. But God promises victory. God is our victory. Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives is what causes our attention to be put on the victory that we have. Victory that's already been paid for. How do you overcome? That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. And that's an important part that sometimes we overlook. Sometimes we like to just take those first little parts and forget the others. It's like when you read a therefore in the Bible, you got to see what it's there for. So if God gives us the victory, and God is our victory, and He is the victor who overcame everything, just be of good cheer. You know, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Victory is the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. Victory is an achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. Are you starting to get excited? See, God's our restoration. He is the God of restoration and reconciliation. And it's God who preserves us. And that word preserve means to persist in a state. Listen carefully. Preserve means to persist in a state, enterprise, or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. It's just simply steadfastness or perseverance. Amen? And we go through. You know, Patrick was talking to me this week. We had a little conversation. He called me to see how I was doing and everything. I had a physical ailment this week due to something dumb that I did. I mean, I did it to myself. I'm not going to tell you how dumb. I'm too embarrassed. But I'll tell you what. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was headed for the hospital again. And I was one sick puppy, but I'm here, and I'm well. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. I mean, I've never been sick like that in my life. But God brought me through. And that's what we were talking about, going through. See, God always takes us through. That word through, Christ always causes us to come through in victory. Not just come through, but come through in victory. An overwhelming victory. Not just a little get by, well, that was a close one. But thank you, Lord. You've delivered me. Going through, it's a function word to indicate completion or exhaustion. Completion, conclusion, or accomplishment. Going through. And finally, the word through means you've arrived at a completion or an accomplishment. And you've gone through. Amen? Now we're overcomers, are we not? He's more than a conqueror, and He made us more than conquerors, did He not? So the word overcome or overcomer means to get the better of, or to surmount, to gain the superiority, to win or to conquer. I'm going to give you some scriptures. We'll look at them. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 talks about overcoming the world. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let me ask you a question. Are you born of God? Whether you understand it or not, whether you know Him or not, you're born of God. John 1, 13 tells you that very clearly. It says, you were not born by the will of man or the will of the flesh or by blood, but you were born by the will of God. And He never put unless this or that way, unless you're born this particular circumstance or that particular circumstance. So in 1 John 5, 4 and 5, it says, "For whatever is born of God," if you want to, you can put the word whoever, "overcomes the world." Why? Because you're born of God. When you become a new creation, when you become a believer in Jesus, you become a new creation or a new species or being that never before existed. Amen. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is it? Your faith. That's the victory that overcomes the world. Donna told us this morning how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Let me say it again. Amen. That's right. You didn't love your lives even to death. You love God more than you even love your life. Then the question is asked in verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation 12:2. 12:11? Thank you. And they overcame him. Who? Satan. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, or their speech. Word of their testimony. Is your testimony? Oh. Here's what it says in Revelation 12:11. It says, and they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to death. Turn with me to Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation 2, verse 7. 2, verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now listen carefully, because there are several of these written here in Revelation, but they all are different. But they're all for us. Amen? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We're talking eternal life. To him who overcomes. Overcomes what? The obstacles, the doubts, the stumbles in our life. What does the Bible say? Righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. Hallelujah. Then verse 17 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. We talked about this last week. A white stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Are you seeing some of the promises of God here? If you overcome? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that you're not in it alone. Jesus is the one who walks through it with you. He's the co-laborer with you. When you make a decision, you're not on your own. God backs up that decision. He's the one who infuses the power of the Holy Spirit into your life and puts the Holy Spirit on notice. You need to bring this to pass. You need to make sure this happens. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What you're doing is releasing the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now turn to verse 26 of that same chapter. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Let's go on to the next chapter, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 5, 12, and 21. Starting in verse 5, it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Hallelujah. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the city of my God, and the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him a new name. That's three or four promises right there that God promises if we overcome. We're running a race, aren't we? Are we running to run the whole race to win the prize? Or are we just playing at it? You've got to answer that question. You've got to make your decision. Remember that no decision is a decision until it's a decision. Is that too simple for you? Verse 21, chapter 3 of Revelation. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Praise God. And then finally, in Revelation, we'll turn to chapter 21, verse 7. We may have just even read that already. No. This is a good one. Listen carefully to this. Woo, praise God. You ought to be shouting. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. For those of you who may have an issue, that's not talking about gender. That's talking about mankind. Hallelujah. Now let's turn back to 1 John 4, verses 4 and 5. We read chapter 5, 4 and 5. Now let's read verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen carefully. He's making a statement. You need to say, that's me. You are of God, little children. We've already talked about that, John 1:13. You're here because of God. You're here by the will of God. You're here at the desire of God. And you have overcome. Why? How did you do that? Because he who in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, I told you, God works in you. And it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Amen? And he's working in you. If you will listen, if you will heed, if you will understand, and look at the and put your focus on him, and not see the glass half empty, but see it half full, to know that God never sleeps, he never slumbers, but he's always working, he's always moving, he's always doing things in your behalf. Say, God loves me, and he's working in my behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Because why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We read in some passages that Jesus is already the head of all principality and power. I think that covers Satan too, don't you? Amen. Here's what verse 5 says. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Verse 6 says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us, and he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the Spirit of truth, by this we know the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Listen carefully. If you look at that scripture and meditate it for a few minutes, what you're going to see is you're going to see that that's why you have authority over the enemy. Did you hear me? Look at verse 5 again. No, I'm sorry, verse 6. It says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. How many know that Satan knows God? Very well. Who was it that cast him out of heaven? Like a lightning. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God, and God says, not here, you're not. There's only one God who's in us, through us, and above us, and in us all. Amen? That's Jehovah. That's Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greater is he who dwells in you than he who is in the world. I hate those little hitchhikers. A little red spider mite going across my page. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you will. You know, we're in a race to win a prize. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're just about to close. Philippians chapter 3. Thank you. book right after Ephesians. And we're going to read verses 13 to 16, but our main focus in the key scripture is verse 14. Here's what it says. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward. Do you see the action there? To those things which are ahead. What's ahead? Eternal life. Fellowship with God. Eternity with God. Where there is no night, there is no darkness, there is only victory. The struggles of this life are going to be over. But we get there by persevering. Amen? We get there by standing steadfast because we know that God, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, takes and pulls us through. Amen? Verse 14. I press towards. That's an action word. That means there's some responsibility on our part. We got to keep running. We got to keep moving. We got to keep focused on the prize. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Are we pressing towards the upward call? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just one or two more and we're done. 1 Corinthians 9. And we're going to read verses 24 through 27. Are you ready to run the whole race? Are you in it to win it? Amen. Hallelujah. Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." Now he's talking about just a regular race. There can only be one winner. But I read the end of the book, and we're all winners. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll just remind you again what God says and what God shows us from Genesis to Revelation. This isn't a 9-inning ball game. It's His bat and ball, and we play and we win. Amen. Verse 25. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." Now they do it, talking about the world, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. In other words, you're not just running around with uncertainty, hoping you're going to make it. Can I tell you, think so or hope so or maybe so will never win the fight. Never win the fight. You have to know in whom you believe. And you have to be persuaded. that He is able to keep the things that you've committed to Him against that day. Ha. Glory. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as one who beats the air. You ain't shadow boxing. You hear me? But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I talked about when you hang around with people who are failures. Now, they didn't start out to be failures, and I'm not judging them. I love the people that I'm talking to. God knows who I have in mind. And I don't want to see them fail. I want to see them come. I want to see them be overcomers. I want to see them walk in the victory and the power of God. But their focus has to change. Amen? They've got to get a positive outlook based on the Word of God. I don't know how you can get a positive outlook on life unless it's the life of God or in the life of God. Amen? Two more scriptures. John 16:33. Really listen close. John 16:33. Amen. Jesus is speaking and He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace." Where's your peace come from? In Him. In the world, listen carefully, you will have tribulation. He never made any bones about that. He didn't pull any punches and He didn't tickle our ears and lie to us. He said, you'll have tribulation. But wait a minute, God, what about the abundant life? Well, honey, I'm not done yet. But He goes on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's spoken these things to us. That in Him we can have peace. He says, in this world you're going to have certain things that happen. But that's not the end of the story. I'll bring you through. I'll make you a victor, not a victim. Amen. Last scripture, Psalm 34, verse 19. Psalm 34, verse 19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen carefully. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God, you mean to tell me you're promising that I'm going to have afflictions? Oh, but He's not done talking. Remember, you do the same thing with a but as you do with a therefore. It means He's not done talking yet. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. Who? The Lord does what? What does He do? He delivers them, or him, or you and I, out of them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when the enemy does these things, he doesn't understand that these things happen, and he thinks they're going to slow us down or stop us. But if our focus is in the right place, we know this is just an opportunity for God to show Himself strong on our behalf. Amen? To bring us through. To prove that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that all principality and power is under His feet. Amen? He is the King and the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, if you'll turn your heart to God, God's the one who works in you both to have the will to do and to do His good pleasure. And what is His good pleasure? Can anybody tell me this morning what is His good pleasure for your life? Say it again, Daniel. Love, that's one thing, but what is His good pleasure? Amen. But where's that the most prevalent? In eternity. It's here now. Amen. He's given us the kingdom down here, but in eternity. So when He works in you, He's working in you to have the will to do what He wants you to do for the purpose of receiving that crown. Amen. Finishing the race in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody encouraged this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're running a race. We're walking through this life. And God says there's going to be things come, but we're getting changed. Listen to me carefully. As you look at the Word and you receive these promises and you begin to quote these promises in your life and take a hold of these promises, you rise above what's going on. And God changes you from one glory to another glory. You take a step up higher each time. Amen? I don't know about you, that just looks and feels better to me than sitting there saying, "Oh Lord, why am I going through this? Oh Lord, why did this happen to me?" And the enemy standing back gloating, "Ha, got you again, got you again." Jesus came to still the enemy and the avenger, did He not? Did He not do it? All He's got is a big mouth now. He doesn't have any teeth anymore. That's why He says, the Bible says He is like a roaring lion. He didn't say He was a roaring lion. He didn't say He was a roaring lion. He said He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom He can devour. It's pretty hard to eat something alive when all you can do is gum it to death. Amen. God loves you. He loves all of us so much. We can't even begin to fathom. Harry, come on. Praise the Lord. We can't even begin to fathom. Let me ask you in all honesty, has this helped you to have a different outlook about your circumstances? I can't tell you why we go through the things we go through, why Stan's going through it, why Bill has gone through it all these years, Patrick, you know, Kathy. But I know one thing, that because of it, God has opens an opportunity to show Himself strong and to bring glory to Himself and His kingdom. Amen? And we get to be a part of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm for that, aren't you? Yeah. Glory to God. You need prayer this morning? Yes, sir. Okay. God knows. Anybody else? Come on, now's the time. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Father, we thank You, first of all, for the victory in Kathy's grandson's life and her son's life, Lord. We thank You that You've begun the work and You're finishing it. But Lord, we pray for Ben. Lord, You know what he needs. We don't need to know. You know. And that's all it takes. So we stand in the gap. We stand in His behalf. And thank You, Lord, as we send Your word that he's healed, he's healthy, he's literate, bright, and Lord, that the main thing is he gets to know You. Lord, deliver him, heal him, and just bless him in Jesus' name. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor forever. And we speak it in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Well, Lord, Daniel brought up Robert. Lord, do You know the situation? You know Robert better than any of us could. So again, we lift him up and we thank You for a speedy process of healing. And in that process, that any defects in his soul or anything lacking in his soul and his spirit, Lord, would be healed. That he'd come to know You and serve You. And Lord, You'd reveal to him that it was You who was his deliverer in Jesus' name. For Your honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're encouraged this morning and you've heard some things that let you know how much God loves you, then let's stand. Let's give Him praise and worship this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, I'm glad I came. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise. You're worthy to receive all glory and all honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're always working in our behalf. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, reveal yourself, Lord, to those who are crying out to you today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We want to change, Lord. We want to be in your image and likeness. And we're here to win it, not just to be in it, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right now I bless your people. I thank you for these people who came today, Lord. I thank you for your presence, that you were here. Holy Spirit, for accomplishing what we ask you to do. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, let your countenance shine upon these people. Let your blessings overtake and overflow them, Lord. Father, we just rejoice in you today, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship afterwards, Lord, that we're going to partake in now. We sanctify the food and the fellowship. Lord, we proclaim your love to you and to one another in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.